and it's just so exciting to be with him. I picked up on his power, his awesome power. The Bible talks about he has infinite power, and you realize it when you're with him. He is in control. You know, we think the devil runs. The devil, he doesn't run anything. God is in control of this place. You know, even though the God of this world causes all these problems, God is in control. And to feel his power, but all that power, and you think, I'm just a little human speck and here this power. But yet, his awesome love, the love he has for people is so overwhelming. You're just flooded with it, and you can't even stand it. You're just weeping because you feel the love he has for mankind. And he said, I don't want anybody to go to this place. Not one person do I want to go to this place. But he said, you've got to go and tell them. He said, because I am coming very, very soon.
Praise God.
And he said it real strong like that. And then again, he said it about a minute later. He said, tell them I am coming, because he said, I am coming very, very soon. And I took it like it was soon. You know, I should have asked. I wish I would have asked. Like, now you want to say, well, what's soon is soon? You know, 10 years, 20? Now you think that, but when you're with him, you don't think that way. You choose too respectful, and if that's the word. And I wish I would have, but I took inside that he meant it was soon. It's not long from now.
Amen.
It's not long. But we're his mouthpiece, you know. And here we keep our mouth shut. And he also said, my people find excuses not to witness. He said they back off and give up too easy and say they didn't feel led. You know, we all have to be led by the Spirit of God. But it's more than that. Sometimes it's not that we weren't led. It was that our flesh takes over, and we fear man. And we think, I don't want to say anything. They're going to think I'm, you know, whatever we think. But when you're with him, it's so urgent. Do you feel this urgency? You've got to go tell the world, because they're going to this place. And there's a lot of good people out there. They really are good people. They just don't know the truth. They haven't been exposed to it. And we have the truth. We just need to go and tell them with wisdom. But look for every opportunity to share the word of God with people. And we can find opportunities. Really, if we really want to, we can find opportunities and take that moment with somebody and say something, because you might never see them again. And you think, if I can do something. So, like, coming back from this, I was almost obsessed with this in the beginning. So you have to be careful and pray, because I felt like God revealed a piece of his heart of how he feels about humanity. And so it's like, I got to tell the world, I got to get out there. And you feel driven to go tell everybody. And you have to temper it, because we got to spend time in worship and be fellowship and things that enjoy. But yet that urgency to go and tell people is what we really need to be doing. That's our job. We're Christians. We're supposed to be out there giving the good news. And people will receive you if you do it with wisdom and study to show ourselves approved, to have answers for people.
Right. Yes, sir.
You know, if we have the answers, then we cannot look like fruitcakes to the world and just tell them, just accept Jesus and not give them reasons.
Yeah.
We have to give them reasons and show them that it's not just some stupid thing and some image. It's with wisdom we've accepted the Lord. We have the mind of God. We can share with them these things. Yeah. But we kept going up this tunnel. If I had to guess at the time, it was only about 2 minutes in this tunnel. But it seemed like a long time, but it was only about 2 minutes, I think. And we continued up, and as we left the Earth's surface, we were still in a tunnel, but I couldn't see it any longer. I knew we were in a whirlwind of tunnel going up, and we had to keep going up to get out of this tunnel, extended way above the Earth's surface to get out of it. Even though I couldn't see it, I knew it was there. And later I read Mary Kay Baxter's book, and she talks about that there's gateways into hell, that there's tunnels. And so we went up, and we went way above the Earth's surface and came out of it. And as we looked down, I could see the curve of the Earth, about that. And it was just awesome to me. I think the Lord just let me enjoy that for a moment. And not everybody would. Mary Kay went through the same thing, but she didn't even comment on, really, that she enjoyed that. She didn't notice and pay attention to that. But just to see the world, like it says, hung upon nothing, I tell you, it's awesome to see. It's like look at this globe, the whole earth turning perfectly in precise 1,000 miles an hour, exactly the way God has it, and no one's holding it up. It's just there. It's like awesome to see space and those kind of things. So I just enjoyed it, and he let me see it for a little bit. And then we began coming down, and we came up on California, came up on my home, and I looked and saw, there's my house. And as we came closer to it, I could see right through the roof, and I saw myself laying on the floor in the living room. I don't know how I got in the living room. I went to bed, and I don't know how I ended up on the floor in the living room. I don't know that part. But I could see myself, and it totally, I was like, who is that? For a moment, it was like, that's not me. This is me. Because that scripture talks about that life is but a vapor. That became reality to me. Because when you're now in the spirit realm, you're in eternity, and this life looks so short. It's so short. It's like, that's it. It's over with in, you know, a few years, and we've got eternity. And it's formed by what we do here for the short time. Isn't that amazing? The short 70, 80, 90 years, whatever you get, and what you do here counts forever. So it makes you, I got to go tell the world, I want to live for God, I want to do whatever He says for me to do, and not live selfishly. We live, you know, so many of us, we just live for ourselves and our own pleasures and not realizing this is going to be over soon. But looking at myself, I just like, that's amazing. This is the real me. And it was like the tent, like Paul talked about it being a tent. It's so temporary. And as we came up to the body, my body, and something sucked me back in, like a suction, pulled me back in through my mouth or nose, I'm not sure which. But there's scripture in Genesis 2 where he talks about he breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils. So I don't know, but that's where I felt like I came back in. And when I came back in, then the Lord left right then. And when He left, because see, when He was there, all those demons, everything in the tunnel, they all looked like ants. They were like nothing. And the power of God and the was perfect love casts out fear. I was totally at peace. But when He left now, all of a sudden the fear and the terror came back in my mind. It's like that section being with Him was taken away for a minute. And the fear came back in. So I just came to screaming and terrified and screaming. And I was totally in trauma. I didn't even know I was back. And then that woke up my wife. And maybe I could have her just tell a little bit of this. So she's the one that found me and can tell you a little bit. Anyway, beautiful wife and that. Isn't she beautiful?
Well, when I heard him screaming in the living room, you know, we were sound asleep, and you come out of sleep, you're kind of groggy, and you look at the clock, and I noticed it was 3:23 in the morning, and I looked over, and he wasn't there, and so I just got out of bed, and I went to the living room, and if anyone really knows Bill, he's really conservative, a calm person. He's not somebody who gets emotional, and so I saw him in the living room, and he was traumatized. He was holding his temples and in a fetal position and like just moving up and down and screaming, and I was like, what's the matter, I'm here. And he wasn't really noticing I was there yet. It was like he was so terrorized in his mind and traumatized. So I just started praying. I didn't know if he was having a heart attack, is he dying, what's going on. And he just said to me, finally screamed out, the Lord took me to hell. And I immediately believed him. A lot of people say to you, well, would you believe that? You know, that's crazy. And I said, I totally believed him. Number one, he's a man of God that's full of integrity, and he walks in that integrity. He's somebody who has the fruits of the Spirit. It's not just, you know, hey, this is a wild experience. And that was one of the things that attracted me to him when we dated. I heard all the good reports of what a man of God he was and how he walked in integrity and he kept his word. And so I believed him right away. I had no hesitation. I just knew, God, you did something here. This is supernatural. So I just prayed in the Spirit because I didn't know what to pray. And then he just screamed out, pray that God takes this out of my mind. Pray that the Lord would just take it out of my mind. I feel like I'm dying. I physically feel like I can't handle this. I'm dying. He was crying. I feel like I'm going to die. So we just prayed that, and instantly the Lord took the terror and fear portion out of his mind. But left, of course, all the memory, and he was very emotional, but he could begin speaking and talking. And he ran in the kitchen and grabbed a glass of water, which I can understand. One point, too, that Holly reminded me of this is you know, when he was coming back up in the tunnel and the Lord showed up, is he asked the Lord, he shared this with me before, he asked the Lord, why didn't I know to call out on you when I was there? And the Lord told him, because you would have had hope. And you're totally lost and hopeless in this place. And I wanted you to experience what the people feel there. So, anyways, that's basically where I found him. I'll let him continue.
Thank you.
And the Lord did tell me that, he said, because if you would have known me there, you would have had hope. I would have known, call on Jesus, I'm getting out of here. I would have known that, right, as Christians. But not knowing him, he wanted me to experience what they feel. And it says in Isaiah 38:18, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. There's no hope. And that was the worst part of the whole thing. The pain is awful, the suffering, the tortures, all that's awful. Breathing, all that's awful. But the no hope that you'll never get out. And you have no destiny. You have no function anymore. You don't have any plans like we do here. All that's gone. You're just lost, being tortured and tormented forever. Your mind can't bear that much torture and torment to have a hopelessly lost and to be eternally separated from God. That's horrible. It says in 2 Thessalonians 1:9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. No power, no hope, nothing. That is the worst of the whole thing, is the no hope. And they said, I asked them, you know, why, Lord, did they hate me so much with such a hatred? And he said, because you are made in my image, and they hate me. Therefore, they hate you, my creation. Because the demons can't do anything against God. They can't hurt Jesus. But they can hurt his creation. And that's why now when you see people sick, and cancer and all these horrible diseases that the devil inflicts on people, you know it's from the devil. It's not God doing that to people to teach them something. He loves people so much. He leads us with his kindness and goodness to repentance. You know, so people that accuse God falsely, it's so saddening to me that you feel how Jesus would feel. Like, I love him so much and they think I put this sickness on them. That's just terrible to accuse God of those kind of things. And he wants us to be healthy, to be blessed, to live our lives to the best we can, and then finally go to heaven and be with him. Praise God for that. But anyway, all to be with Jesus, it's going to be wonderful when we all go to heaven and get to be with him forever. I'm telling you, it's going to be wonderful. But when after this happened and I settled down, you know, first thing I wanted to do was call my family that wasn't saved and tell them on the phone, you got to get saved. You cannot go to hell. I'm not letting you go to hell. I mean, you just, the boldness comes on you like you can't even imagine. And we were planning on going to see my family in Florida in 2 weeks. We were leaving to go witness to the family members that aren't saved, of several family members that aren't saved. So that's why we were going. And so this definitely gave me more motivation to witness to them. But I talked to my mom, and she said, oh, I'm glad you're coming. She said, because I had asked the Lord for confirmation for a lot of this, even though I knew I'd been there. The next day, when you come back in your mind, you think, this is crazy. I've been to hell. You know, who am I going to tell? And then at that point, I didn't want to tell anybody. I thought, I'm not telling anybody. This is just too crazy. They're not going to believe me. They're going to think it was just a bad dream. But my mom told me that, she's, oh, I want you to hear this tape from this lady that had been to hell. And I go, oh, really, Mom? What was her name? She's Mary Kay Baxter. Well, about a week before this, I should have backed up and said this, a week before this, we had met with Ruckus McKinley, a friend of ours. And Ruckus, I ended up telling him the whole story. And Ruckus said, Bill, you have to go get a book by Mary Kay Baxter. This lady that's been to hell and seen everything you're describing. So go get the book. So we read it. Couldn't put it down. I wanted to meet her so bad, just to talk to somebody that's been there. Then I thought, how am I going to meet this lady? She's, you know, who knows where she's at. But my mom told me she listened to this tape, and anyway, it turned out to be Mary Kay Baxter. Well, then my mom called back a couple days later and said, Bill, you won't believe it, but she attends our church. I said, you're kidding us. You didn't know that? She said, no, I didn't know, because she's never here. She's only here 4 or 5 days of the year because she travels all around the world speaking. She speaks everywhere. For the past 10 years, she's been speaking. And I said, man, I'd sure like to meet her. Anyway, long story short, She arrived the same day as us in Florida to come visit her family. And so she went to the church, and we went that next Sunday morning at the church, and we got to meet her. And so that was a miracle. The odds of her showing up at that time, I got to meet her, and I got to sit down and talk to her. And I knew in talking to her in 5 minutes, I could tell she had been there for sure. And she had that same burden for the lost. That where you look at people differently now. Everybody you look at, you're thinking, well, most of these people probably aren't saved. What can I do? I've got to get to them. I've got to think of a way. And you're thinking that way all the time. Anyway, she's been a blessing, so I've got to meet her. And she came out to California and spent some time with us. And so God confirmed it in so many other ways. There were so many things God did in the next month or so. It's too long to share with you now all these different things that's happened, but God's confirmed it in a lot of different ways. And so we've been so blessed, and He's been opening up doors to go speak, even though I don't like to speak. I don't like the microphone. I never have. And I really avoided any kind of public speaking my whole life to do this. But the Lord told me to go do it. And He's confirmed it by when I've spoken and people have come forth and gotten saved. Then that makes me think, well, He's fulfilling His part. He said, you just tell it, I'll convict their hearts. So that's been a real blessing. But I also investigated. I want to find out if anybody else has been there, you know. And there's been about 11 people that I have found, discovered, that have been on TV, on TBN and so forth, that have given their testimony. So I wanted to gather up some of their testimony, see what they've said. And so we've got 5 on a video. Just they've given their testimony like an hour long, but this is just 2 minutes of each one telling what they've seen. And then there's 2 more, and I'll just read a little blip out of their book, what they saw. And then after that, so the video will be the 2 minutes of each. And then Mary Kay Baxter, myself, my pastor got like 150 hours of different Hollywood movies together that's trying to depict what hell would look like. Even Disney has one, The Black Hole. So we looked through all these movies trying to find anything that looked really real. So we put together 3 minutes of what the realest Hollywood could do. Okay, it's still Hollywood, and it's still like a sensationalized thing, but it's not even nearly as bad as it is there. Okay, so it doesn't even reflect how bad it is, but at least give you an idea of a little bit of what it looks like. And in Kenneth Hagin's testimony, you'll see when Kenneth Hagin gives a testimony when the Lord showed him hell, or he actually went to hell, the demon that he saw at the gates, the one that it shows, is the exact same one that was in my cell. Wow. So if you want to see what one looks like, I don't know who drew it or how he got, but that is it. So that one is real accurate. When it shows Kenneth Hagin going down and coming up with the bars of hell, when you guys see that, just look at that face of that demon, that one. Also in the video, it shows a woman running. Now I don't know how, Mary Kay said that there were some people there that were running, and because they lived in fear all their life on the earth, that now they're chased by the spirit of fear in hell. Forever they're running by the spirit. It catches up to them and it burns, consumes them with all their flesh, and then they drop over and then they run again and it consumes them. So they're running continuously. I don't know how they get the strength to run. I don't know, but there's different levels of torment. Just like Dr. Eby, he went to hell and he was in a cell, but he was in silence. He was in silence, and so he didn't hear the screams. He was in the other, he was in the opposite, in total isolation. And dead silence, never to see anybody. So he just tells his testimony. So I'll read a piece of each of theirs. We'll watch the video, and in the 3 minutes, so you understand the woman running, that was the scene of that. But just quickly to read, Dr. Lester Sumrall, you probably all know who he is, a wonderful man of God, I tell you. Read his book, and you feel like he lived in Africa and all over the world and witnessed to everybody, and just went through so much in his life in ministry of like 68 years and just died recently. But Lord gave him a vision of hell. And he said, I'll just read just a minute of it here. He said, I saw before me all the people of the entire world. They walked down a very long and wide highway leading away from me. God lifted me up until I was looking down upon the uncountable multitude of humankind. He took me far down the highway until I saw the end of the road. It ended abruptly at a precipice towering above a bottomless inferno. When the tremendous, unending procession of people came to the end of the highway, I could see them falling off into eternity. As they neared the pit and saw the fate that awaited them, I could see their desperate but vain struggle to push back against the unrelenting pressure of those to the rear. The great surging river of humanity swept them ever forward. God opened my ears to hear the screams of a damned soul sinking into hell. God brought me nearer. As men and women of all nations plunged into that awful chasm, I could see their faces distorted with terror, their hands flailed wildly, clawing the air. And he goes on and on. He goes on even to say that the Lord told him it was his fault. And he said, how is it my fault? And he said, because you have to go and tell them. And he said he wanted a scripture for that, and the Lord gave him a scripture in Ezekiel 3:18, where it said it's our fault if we don't go preach the gospel. We're accountable. Then Dr. Eby, if you know who Dr. Eby is, he has been on TBN back in the 70s. This happened to him, and he's been around for a long time. He's a gynecologist and obstetrician, and he had died. And he was a Christian, died and went to heaven. He was died overnight, 24 hours, and they put him in cold storage and all that, and got him out the next day and to embalm him, and he came back to life. So he's an incredible story, testimony. And but then 2 years later, the Lord said, I want to show you hell. So we took him for 2 minutes only. He said, it's all you could bear, 2 minutes, and he was in a cell. And I'll just read a little blip of what he said, what he went through. He said, my 2 minutes of hell started. Instantly, I realized I was a dead sinner being taken to the lowest bowels of the earth. A sense of absolute terror gripped my being. The immensity of my isolation in the stark darkness and soundless silence was overwhelming. In the depths of earth, my isolation was terrifying. No one could help me but Jesus, and he was gone. My mind was lightning fast. I would never see another person. I could never break out. I would never hear a voice again. I heard demons taunt me, damn God, damn people. And the smell, horrid, nasty, stale, fetal, rotten, and evil. Stinking, crawling demons, mentally delighting in making me wretched. I would now have an eternity of inescapable nausea besides all the rest of hell. My terror mounted until I was ready to collapse into utter hopelessness, crushing despair. I was an eternally lost soul by my own choosing. By my own choosing. He goes on and on about it, but that just gives you an idea. That's two of the people, so we didn't get them on video. But, you know, when you hear these other people's testimonies along with the others, you know, it's all the same. Everybody has seen this same thing. And we really need to get out there as Christians and tell the world. But if we can, then let's watch the video just for a few minutes.